Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings. Thank you guys for tuning in to Enhancing Awareness Radio. This is one of your hosts, Keith, and tonight I am actually very, very excited to bring you our new host, Sergio. He also goes by Tasmaniac, and he will be coming to you with Operation Wake the Fuck Up. So this is going to be a segment that we're going to be doing in place of our Enhancing Awareness classroom. On Thursdays, it's pretty much designed for, a host to come on and for a host to teach on you know, an array of different topics, right? So that's what we're going to be doing for you guys. Sergio is going to be coming on every second Thursday of the month to teach you guys on many different things. So on this episode, Sergio is going to be teaching about Marriage License Decoded. So Enhancing Awareness Radio is very happy to have Sergio as a part of our team, because collectively we can come together and we can help to change the world. So I now present you Sergio Tasmania. Go ahead and tell the world what you're going to be doing here on the platform.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much. Peace and love, prosperity, and eternal happiness to all the family joining us, as well as those that might enjoy the show at a later date and time. Your attendance is greatly appreciated and definitely noted. With that said, my name is Sergio. I'm better known by my friends and family as Tasmaniac. I want to take this time to personally thank Enhancing Awareness Radio for granting me the opportunity to be on the platform and provide my perspective on subjects that are of my interest. I encourage everyone to follow the blog at www.blogtalkradio.com/enhancingawarenessradio. That will be www.blogtalkradio.com/enhancingawarenessradio. We pretty much have a plethora of hosts now that are providing amazing knowledge and awareness all throughout the month, with subjects that have been a call to all of us for a very, very long time. Feel free to check out all the shows. You can follow me personally on Facebook under Sergio Campos, a.k.a. Tasmania, T-A-Z-Z-M-A-N-I-A-C. And you could also subscribe on YouTube under the same. Links are available in the website under the description in today's scheduled show. Further in the show, we will open the lines to other to our followers and our audience for any and all questions, comments, statements, or anything you might want to share to add value what I'm about to present to you guys. I want to reiterate and make sure that everybody's aware that Enhancing Awareness Radio, as well as myself and all its producers and hosts, we're not lawyers, family, all right? We're not scholars in this subject. And for that reason, we are not responsible for any and all decisions that may come from information that we might provide to you guys. Please keep in mind that all we're doing is providing information so that you may do some research and come up with your own conclusions so that you may enhance your awareness and raise your level of consciousness. If you would like to call in on this show to speak to me, feel free to call the call-in number, which is 929-477-3423, and be sure to press the number 1. If not, you're just going to be listening to the show. If you wish to interact with me and present your perspective, please make sure that you press 1. If you'd like to join us on the show to get in the caller queue, of course, please don't forget to share the podcast in any and all platforms that you might have access to. As Keith says, Operation Wake the Fuck Up. Now, Operation Wake the Fuck Up is it's a hashtag that I often use when I provide information, and the brand is geared towards making a better future for all of us. It's basically because alone we can be picked off like cattle, pretty much, in a vast field with nowhere to hide. It's just that simple. But together, we can regain what was stolen and get back to being who we are and what we're here for, you know, which is eternal energy gods and goddesses looking to reach a higher sense of consciousness, a higher vibration that would allow us to ascend and continue to learn more. So with that said, let's get started with marriage license. As the title states, you know, it's Marriage License is Decoded, and this is information that I've gathered together and I wanted to present to you. Now, in America, when it comes to marriage, there's procedures and standards for marriage that one must follow. One of those procedures is to acquire a marriage license. Many people go about following these steps outlined for marriage according to the state without ever knowing the reasoning or history or legal aspect of what it is they're doing. Any other time most people sign a legal binding contract, they read it in detail to make sure it matches everything they were told, like when you buy a car, a house, a cell phone, etc. So the question remains, why do we not do the same for a marriage license? Do we actually go ahead and check? Everybody's worried more. To make a real quick example, most women will be concerned about their wedding dress, where the hall is going to be, who's going to be invited, their maid of honor, absolutely. The man is going to be worried about, you know, 9 times out of 10, knowing us, you know, our bachelor party. And who's going to be our best man, who are we going to invite, you know, and things of that nature. And when we go and actually get this license, we're not worried about what the aspect of that fiscal paper that we're actually getting really is. So let's look into that. Now, a marriage license. The word license is derived from the Latin word licentius, which means lacking restraint, ignoring societal standards disregarding for accepted rules. Now, according to the Black Law's dictionary, the word license is defined as the permission by competent authority to do an act, which without such permission would be illegal. Okay, now family, this basically means the government makes something that was lawful to do illegal. So they can tell you that if you pay the government money, which is no different than a bribe, that they will turn their backs and give you a permit that allows you to break the law that they just said it was illegal to do in the first place. Now, family, the only reason you need a marriage license is if you willfully declare yourself incompetent or of running your own marriage, and you're asking for help. That's pretty much what you're doing. You're asking for permission. You don't believe me? You can look it up. Go to a dictionary, Google it, do whatever, and Google what license is. One of them is going to be a reason or excuse to do something wrong or excessive. A permit from an authority to own or use something, do a particular thing, or carry on a trade. You're asking permission to be able to do something that in the beginning, whether we knew it or not, it was illegal to do. But you were doing it anyways. But now they're telling you you required a paper. Where does that work? Now, let's not forget, you know, what the priest says at the end of every wedding. Because these people say key words. Because the language is bastardized, family. So they have certain words that they use to let us know, to tell us the truth in plain sight. And if we're not paying attention, is literally them laughing in your face, telling you what they're doing, and you're not paying any attention. But they're telling you the truth, so now you're willfully acquiring this license and to anything and everything that comes with it, and you don't even know what it is. But now the priest, at the end of every wedding, you know, whether it's a priest, Or if you go before a court or anything like that, what do they tell you? By the power invested in me, by the state of Illinois per se, you know, they're literally letting you know that the one that is giving them the power and the okay to commit an act that was otherwise unlawful to do, it's the state. It's the state, family. But now, the first major question people need to ask themselves is, why would it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? This isn't a question that's really brought up or addressed, because we're so accustomed to following the laws and statutes and commandments of men instead of our own or what our ancestors used to do. What we need to do now is look back at the history of marriage licenses, at least in America, see how exactly it came about and why the government and states enforced this system of enslavement upon the people. We're blessed to live in an information age, family. We are so blessed. If you haven't realized and come to the conclusion and realization that this is the information, and if you are still stuck in Pisces in the age of religion and faith, you got a lot of catching up to do. You have a lot of catching up to do, and I'm telling you, you are blessed to live in this information age. This information is out here so easily at our fingertips. And as I'm telling you to you right now, you could look this stuff up as I go through it, because eventually it's not going to be there, and you're not going to be able to fight something that you have no knowledge of. Now, with that said, let me just throw this out there. George Washington, the father of this nation, supposedly, per se, he didn't have to sign a marriage license, and neither did anyone else before 1923. Our ancestors, and even they followed something similar. They're not our ancestors, obviously, but even they followed something similar. But our ancestors had the custom of choosing the man who will marry their daughter, because you're nation building. You ain't trying to just let no ignorant fool come into your nation and destroy everything you and those before you have built to this time. No, we ain't got no time for that, family. We have no time for that. And back then, those ancestors that made that decision were women, not men, not the one that was getting married. And we look at it now as something like, oh, Sergio, you're speaking of arranged marriages. Yeah, we are, but the whole concept of arranged marriages, we have lost what it truly was and how it truly used to be. You know, so we're not going to get into that, because that will be too deep. But I just want to point that out there. Now, let's talk about the history of miscegenation's laws. Okay, now miscegenation's laws were laws that banned interracial marriage and sometimes even interracial sex between whites and melanated people, whites and blacks, okay? In the United States, interracial marriage, cohabitation and sex have since, I think, 1863 been termed as miscegenation. So the act of you cohabitating and procreating and living as a unit, as a nation, with somebody of a different hue of you, back in the days, it was considered miscegenation. Okay, now in North America, laws against interracial marriage and interracial sex existed and were enforced in the 13 colonies from the late 17th century onwards. And subsequently in the several U.S. states and U.S. territories until 1969. Now, if we look at the definition of anti-miscegenation laws, in the United States, anti-miscegenation laws were state laws that were passed by individual states to prohibit miscegenation. Nowadays, they're more commonly referred to as interracial marriages and interracial sex. Okay. If you wanna speak in hood terms, you got jungle fever, family. Okay, you got jungle fever. But movie that. Now, in the United States, miscegenation laws were state laws passed by individual state to prohibit miscegenation. The like we said, you know, the cohabitating and procreating of whites and blacks. You know, typically defining miscegenation as a felony. Okay, yes, family, a felony charge. Now, these laws prohibited the solemnization of wedding between a person of different races and prohibited the officiating of such ceremonies. If you so much as attempted to either publicly do it, have some type of ceremony anywhere, it could even be in the privacy of your own home. If anybody knew that there was such a ceremony and a festivity going on that involved somebody that was white and black, oh, you were in big trouble, family. You were in big trouble. Sorry, I had to take a drink of water. You were in big trouble, and that was considered a felony. And right now you think of a felony as, yeah, it ruins, oh, well, you know, that ruins my whole my whole life, and I can't get a job. A felony back then, family, was not how it's represented now, especially if you were black. Especially if you were black. You know, they would enforce very, very strict and brutal punishment for such activities, ceremonies, and knowingly doing this when you know these people didn't get down like that. That's just the way it is, family. These people ain't get down like that. And they was trying to keep the blood pure and make sure that there was never no love towards what truly built this entire country as far as they went. But moving on. Now, let's break down the switch in between them not allowing it, family, and then obviously now we could all tell who has a problem with seeing a white dude marry a goddess or vice versa. Nobody gonna say anything. Actually, not that nobody, but I would go as far as saying that maybe 75 to 80% of the people are going to be for that marriage. And I'm not trying to say, family, that you know, that what I'm telling you is right. And I know it might sound in a way like I'm trying to put them down and put them out the picture. When I say them, I mean white folks. But the truth of the matter is, family, they never gave a fuck about us in the first place. If you had any type of melanin in you, it was over with. You didn't have no full rights. So now let's get our shit back. And once we get our shit back, then we could include them because we know we ain't going to do the same. Well, at least that's my perspective. I'm not saying because evil exists everywhere, family, and we have to admit that. But at least in my perspective, once we get control of the situation, if we actually act upon the values and the customs that we want to follow, then we should have no problem leading the whole entire world. But, you know, that's to see when it happens, if it happens. But let's continue now. Now, the word fornication. In the year 1303, was defined as a sexual act which was committed with a prostitute. Now, the Latin word fornix, from which fornicatio comes, the ancestor of fornication, is derived and meant as a vault, an ark, okay? It was referred to a vaulted cellar or a similar place where prostitutes plied their trade, thus making it in reference to a sexual act committed with a prostitute. So upon the states knowing that blacks and whites would still be tempted to marry each other, instead of just hitting them and slapping them just with a felony charge, they redefined the definition of fornication and began using it when blacks and whites desired to marry one another or have sex, thus therefore making it a lawful act linked with an unlawful biblical act. You know, so therefore bringing condemnation upon two people coming together as a sin and illegal. Family, when these people came, whoever came up with this shit, excuse my friends, these motherfuckers knew what they was doing. And they weren't playing. They weren't playing one bit when they came together with this. Because this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because the truth is always hidden. What you think you know, you don't know. And we ain't gonna be good until we realize that the only thing we know is that we don't know a damn thing. That is the only thing that we that we have to come to a conscious understanding to be able to move forward. That is the only thing, I'm exaggerating, not the only thing, but one of the main things we have to come into understanding to be able to move forward. Most of us think we know a lot of shit, but a motherfucker don't know nothing. Nothing. Everybody always run to what either somebody else said or what somebody read or what somebody told them or what they watched something, or instead of you yourself going to go do the research. Why, family? Why? Why must we be told what to do? That's all I want to know. When did we become that irrelevant? When did we become that ignorant that we have to be told what to do and then ask permission for it? Come on, family. Come on now. Now, come on. Now, what I'm at this time, what I want to do is I'm going to take a little short break, you know, and as we get ready for the second part of the show, I'm going to leave y'all with a song I wrote during the first days of my awakening process that I dedicated to my daughter, who I haven't seen since she was 4 years old. She's 20 right now. You can find the video in my YouTube channel under Miracle in January. And just a quick note, family, okay? I need you to hear this, all right? Now, I'm no rapper, nor do I sing, but I love poetry. I always have. And during my awakening, I was overwhelmed with writing poetry. And this specific poem, I chose to make a song so that maybe one day it reaches my Miracle in January. Again, I encourage everyone to follow the blog at www.blogtalkradio.com, Enhancing Awareness Radio. Again, you know, we have a plethora of hosts that are providing amazing knowledge and awareness with the subjects and have been a cult with us. Feel free to check out everything. You can also follow me on Facebook under Sergio Campos, a.k.a. Tasmaniac. Subscribe on YouTube under the same. Links will be available under the description of today's show. And I will see you in a few minutes.
What up, G?
What's good, my nigga?
Shit. Chilling. How you been? How was work?
Work, my dog.
All right. Hey, so check it, right? You remember the situation with my baby mother and shit, right?
Yeah, the shit she was telling
me
about.
Right. So, you know, since I just recently found my daughter, you know, I'm looking, I was just thinking out loud and just wrote something down. I liked it, how it sounded. So
what?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
So I put it together, but you know I'm into some poetry shit, you know?
Right.
So it's a little different, but that's where you come in. You know, I want you to show me, you know, how it sounds and, you know, give me some pointers on how to go about doing it, you know? So if you like it, then maybe we could do that shit together, like a collaboration or something.
For sure, I got you.
All right, well, you want to hear that shit? Because I already know that shit by heart.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's do it.
So it's been 15 years, right? I mean, I've tried everything. I found you, then you went away. Then I found you again, and you went away. And now that I found you, it might feel like it's too late.
No.
Maybe it's now, and this is why. January 4th, the day was cold, but we still had to move forward. It's been so long, I can't remember what occurred. But when the time arrived, I knew for sure that I was hurt. Your mom and I looked at each other with a blank face. What were we to do? Let's pick up the pace. We were children, happy children, thinking we were cool. Had I better prepared, I would have felt like such a fool. But life was so tight, so stay still. Till later, ain't worry about how we feel. Husband and sister, making us worry. My little girl, by the end of this, bro, we gotta hurry. I grabbed my phone, who do I call? My mother was my everything, she was my all. Mom, help me, please. What do I do? Where do I go? Get in the car and just turn the key. I would face my worst fear.
Now I'm 10 toes down to the reality that my dream has turned into my worst nightmare. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. What in the world am I supposed to do?
Welcome back to the show, family. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Let's pick up right where we left off. Hope everyone enjoyed my song. Please share on all platforms if you can. And after the break, after this break, what we're going to do is we're going to open the calls for everybody. We're going to open the calls for everybody. If you have something to say, please call in right now so you can get in the queue. I'm going to try to get the, some of the second part, of the presentation started, and we can move on from there, from the calls as we move on. Once again, welcome back to the show. Appreciate y'all. Please share if you can, and hope you enjoyed my song. Now, back to the presentation. Let's pick up now with the majority of the states at the time beginning, being racist states and being pretty much owners of slaves. This war of fornication was then instituted by scholars into the Holy Bible, family, out of all places. Why wouldn't they, right, family? I mean, of all places, right? But let's move on. You know, by doing so, you know, they were thus giving it the meaning or definition as a sexual act when occurring outside of marriage, such as any person who has sex without being married by the church, okay? Now, through hiding behind Christ, this racist, idiotic doctrine was brought into practice. And with the new definition of the word fornication being instituted, it now gave the states cover to continue racism by bringing those of different races into court to be tried for committing the felony of fornication, thus labeling them as fornicators. Now, family, let's remember one thing, okay? It is very important to know that everything is in place for a reason, okay? For a reason. And with that said, when they put this there, they knew what they were doing, family. Okay? They knew what they were doing because it links it up with the marriage license. Because once you go into this church, this pastor or this priest or whatever, the first thing dude's going to tell you is he ain't going to do nothing unless you go get a marriage license. Nothing. He ain't going to do nothing. All right? And it also goes into the fact that when you look at it racial-wise, there is a way that the white race could literally be wiped off the planet without ever having no altercation with them. And that is to procreate with them. Technically speaking, they can literally be fucked out of existence. Literally. Let's move on. Now, when the government needed finances, some states began allowing interracial marriages or miscegenation, as long as those marrying received a license from the state. So, in other words, they had to receive permission to do an act which without such permission would have been illegal. Remember, in Black Law's dictionary, it points to this historical fact when it defines marriage licenses as a license or permission granted by public authority to persons 2 in 10 intermarry. Okay, intermarry is defined in Black Law's dictionary as miscegenation, mixed or interracial marriages. Not long after these licenses were issued, some states began requiring all people who marry to obtain a marriage license, seeing that they could make a profit of the union of marriage. So in 1923, the federal government established the Uniform Marriage and Marriage License Act. They later established the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act to make sure that even though you left this contract, you were still going to enter into another one. Now, family, I have a couple of calls right now. So I'm going to grant the floor to one of the calls to see what the family has to say. So let's see. What call do we have available? Let me speak to the blog gods right here. And we have a 678 area code. If you are available, the mic is open. Feel free to speak if you can.
Peace and love,
brother. If you could state your name, how'd you hear it about us?
My name is Crumb Snatcher.
Brother Crumb.
From Virginia. Yeah.
Brother Crumb. How are you doing, Brother Crumb? For those unaware, this is we have the God on the line. How can I put it in a good yet blunt term? But the well known Crumb Snatcher. I'm gonna open the floor to you, and I'm gonna allow you to present yourself, and as well as give us some information on where to find you, and what brings you to the blog today, brother.
Peace to everybody. Salute to Tasmaniac. Salute to Enhanced Knowledge Radio. I am your brother, Crumb. You can find me on Facebook, Crumb Snatcher, Instagram, Crumb_Snatcher_, and YouTube, Crumb Snatcher. What brought me here today was the amazing measure that you're doing for the people on the topic of marriage license. And I wanted to add value to what you did before the break when you have played your song. Dope song, too. Dope song. But what you had
appreciate
did before,
you,
oh, most welcome. What you had talked about before in terms of a license and the idea of needing a license. I don't have a bunch of different licenses. I don't have I don't have a fishing license. I don't have a hunting license. I don't have a gun license or anything like that. However, I do have a driver's license. I know, and most of the family knows we need a license to drive. Sure, fine. But, based off the conversation that you've been having with the people, if I find it kind of disturbing that we need a marriage license, we need permission to fall in love with somebody. Jim Carrey, right. I'm not a big Twitter person or nothing like that, but Jim Carrey on Twitter was talking about marriage, and he said, isn't the idea of marriage a little creepy? You'd be like, I love somebody so much that I'm going to go and get the government involved. For us needing a license to fall in love and to be with the person that we love is a little bit creepy. And I believe you said, keep me honest, we didn't need a marriage license before 1923. Was that correct?
Correct. It was officially put into place before 1923. It was talked about before, but as far as George Washington and anybody before him, nobody ever needed a license for no marriage.
That's right. That's right. And you only have about – I'm sorry. This is going to be 2 hours today or how long are you going to be?
Correct. I was given 2 hours.
Oh, okay. So you have a little bit of time. All right, so I just want to make one more point, and then I'll pass the mic back. when dealing with marriage, I know you were talking about back in the day as well, doing like ancient times or what we call antiquity. And, you know, the initial idea of marriage was the unification of bloodlines. We're going to see this in the story of Romeo and Juliet, where, you know, Romeo's family is looking for a, you know, the king has a son who's a prince, and, you know, in terms of arranged marriages, he has to find a princess. That was like the whole thing when in all little Disney things. I remember even Cinderella, you know, Cinderella went to that ball, king, you know, the whole reason they had that ball, you know, in the cartoon movie Cinderella was because the king was looking for a wife for his son, because there was no princesses at that time. You know, so he was like, all right, well, we can't find any princesses, so we're going to have a little ball, and, you know, whoever my son, you know, whatever, whatever, we're going to try to, you know, make that happen. So, you know, when we have Romeo and Juliet, these arranged marriages, because we know that marriage is the unification of bloodlines, and those two bloodlines didn't want to unify. So now when we have, you know, when we're looking at marriage, I know people are going to frown at an arranged marriage, but when we talk about these things, we're talking about politics. You know, this is political, where, you know, right now what we're dealing with in terms of marriage is a dumbed down concept where, you know, marriage is not political. Marriage is not about unifying or building the nation. Marriage is more so about, you know, a short-term satisfaction, you know, to find somebody you can be in love with versus, you know, when we're dealing with like the 1%, these people think in terms of bloodlines versus us. We barely think past our own generation. And that's basically all I have to say in terms of marriage. We look at it completely wrong. The idea of even asking somebody for permission is kind of weird. Last point. When we're dealing with that marriage license, and I, you know, this is what I want to leave out on, because we have incorporated the government in our marriage. If we decide we want to get divorced, you know, based off that contract, because I know at the beginning of the show you say people never read over their marriage license contract. In a myriad of states, you know, out of 50, let's say more than 25, you know, over half the states in America, you cannot get a divorce if you ain't paid the state back tax. If you owe back taxes, they will not grant you a divorce. I don't care if that man beating the dog crap out of you, because this is a three-way relationship between two people and the state. And if the state isn't satisfied, they won't grant that a divorce. I want to say this. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I want to encourage everybody, please go to Facebook and to follow, and to YouTube and subscribe to Sergio Campos, otherwise known as my brother, the Tasmaniac. Peace and love, everybody.
Thank you, Brother Crumb. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you for the knowledge that you provided for us today. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. You could also find Brother Crumb Snatcher on YouTube. You could subscribe on YouTube as well as on Facebook. You could follow him on Facebook and Instagram. And you can, if you go to my profile on Facebook, you will find most of the links for his information. If anybody is interested. Now we do have another call that is awaiting online, so I'm gonna take this other call and open the floor for a second person, so we could have a second perspective into the subject that we have at hand. So with that said, second caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello? Yeah, could you state your name and how did you hear about us, please?
Yeah, this is Dr. Rod, the Walking University, and I'm in the Crumb Snatcher group on Facebook. And
Brother Rod, Dr. Rod, yeah. How are you, Brother Rod? It's great to hear you. Thank you for listening.
I'm listening to you going over the marriage contract. Brother Crumb, tap dance all around the topic. I'm going to get straight to the point. First of all, the marriage contract, the marriage license. This is the topic we on today, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, the marriage license is a license to merge two corporations. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with a wedding or a preacher or a priest.
Fact.
It's a corporate merger license. That's what they are licensing you to do. That's why, as Brother Crumb said, if you have back taxes, they will not grant you a divorce. They cannot dissolve a corporation that is in debt until the debt is settled.
Facts.
Okay, now, so what corporations are being merged at this point? Well, they gave you a you a corporation certified with a birth certificate. Now, here's the verification. Your birth certificate, pull it out, look at it. In the fringe, you're going to find that it's a bank document printed on bank security paper. It is registered with a bank number, your birth certificate. Okay? Now, both of you are get one. Now, if you go back and pull an old slave document, you can Google them. Pull them up and match a slave sale manifest to your birth certificate, and it'll have the same information on it. How much you weigh, where you was born, who owned you. In the place of who owned you, they have your parents' names in the slave document as your owners, because they are the ones that's going to open up your international bank account. They call it a Social Security account.
Fact.
So now you have your bank account in place. They have these bonds that are your corporate titles. So now you become 18. You become what they call the age of majority in law. You have the right to contract free of the consent of your creating corporation, your parents. And free of that restriction, you corporate, you join and make a merger. You have to go to a arbitrator to determine the terms of the merger. This is what they call your marriage laws or your marriage contract. However, if you do a prenup before you go, that supersedes the marriage contract of the state. Why? Because it's a common law document. It overrides all of the legal fiction documents. Now, they are aware of this. They're not going to tell you what's going on, because you're supposed to know when you go in there that you're finna merge two corporations together. Now, what do these corporations do, and how do they generate an income? How do they provide money? We go to work, and we got a job making $10, $15, $20 an hour, and we think that's what we generate. Bullshit. Flat out, bullshit. We generate, on a $10 hour job for that corporation, about $1,000 an hour. $10 an hour that they give us is through the Federal Reserve contracts with the corporate entities of the corporation. So they feed the money back into the corporation. That's why GM making record profits, and then they telling them that they can't function because they cut to close all these plants. It's all related. So when you go down
everything
there,
is connected.
Yep. So when you all go down there for the marriage license, it's the same as when you're watching the news and you see Microsoft is trying to buy Apple or something to that magnitude. They have to go to the Supreme Court to get permission to merge these corporations. They have to get a marriage license. It's the same thing. But we are told that this is saying that we can be legally married. What the fuck is that? Married and law ain't got nothing to do with each other. Married is a social institution and binding the unity of tribes and families. That's what true marriage is. That's why the unity is under God. The marriage contract is designed to subjugate the woman, because we are in a patriarchal society right now. So these documents are actually documents that are slave documents, kept us in bondage. This is your motherfucking Dorothy on the Yellow Brick Road on Land of Oz. So you get caught up in this quagmire. You got to get your baby a Social Security card. He can't go to school, never knowing that school is hell, because school is a Yiddish word shul, which is Sheol in Hebrew, which means hell. So we send our kids to hell every day.
Wow. Yes, well, brother, you know, brother Rob, greatly appreciate you. You dropped a lot of knowledge. You said that we could find you on the Crumb Snatcher group and as well as your Facebook name, if you may.
On Facebook, I'm just Rod Hayes.
Okay, Rod Hayes, as in R-O-D-H-A-Y-E-S, for all those interested. The brother has a plethora of knowledge. I might even consider having him, you know, in another segment because there is certain pertinent information that we could relate this marriage information and create a whole nother show. And with the permission of the blog gods, we might make this happen. With that said, Brother Rod, I greatly appreciate you. Be blessed, and thank you for calling.
No, real, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate the answer. Yep.
All right, have
and
a good one.
Much blessings to you, man. May the ancestors be pleased.
Thank you, Brother Rod. Thank you. Now, family, we've gotten two surprises today from two very, very extremely knowledgeable people. They're both available for this knowledge as well as myself. We want to take the time right now to thank Enhancing Awareness Radio for giving us the opportunity to be able to provide this information for the family, because it is something that's been hidden from us for far too long, and we are looked at as ignorant and buffoons, and we're not nowhere near it. Our ancestors were gods. We are the descendants of gods and goddesses, and this is not our destiny. I refuse to accept it, and whatever it is that I got to do to bring forth this knowledge, that's what I'm going to do. Please follow Enhancing Awareness Radio. I will be on every second Tuesday of the month. I will do my best to provide another subject every month, a new subject. I will try to do current events as possible. But thank you for listening. If you are listening, with that said, let's continue with marriage licenses decoded. Now, by 1929, every state in the union had adopted marriage license laws. And by 1935, all states required licenses except Maryland, which soon followed not long after, I'm pretty sure. Now, the marriage license is an ongoing contractual relationship with the state, as Brother Rod told us. Technically, the marriage license is a business license, allowing the husband and the wife in the name of marriage to enter into contracts with third parties and contract mortgages and debts. They can get car loans, home mortgages, and installment debts in the name of the marriage, because it's not only a secular enterprise, but it's also looked upon by the state as a privileged business enterprise, as well as a for-profit business enterprise. The marriage contract pretty much acquires property throughout its existence, and over time, it is hoped that it pretty much increases in value. But if it decreases in value, they have something in place for that as well. They have something in place for everything. It doesn't matter if you make money or if you lose money. They have something in place for everything. Now, what we fail to realize with these procedures for marriage given by the government unto the state is that when you marry with a marriage license, you grant the state jurisdiction over your marriage. When you marry with a marriage license, your marriage is a creature of the state. It is a corporation of the state. Therefore, They have jurisdiction over your marriage, including the fruit of your marriage, in which the fruit of your marriage are your children and every piece of portion you own as far as property or anything. That's right, family. That's right. You heard it right. They have jurisdiction over your children and your property. Fuck the property. Fuck the property. You could replace that shit. You can't replace your children, family. You think we were under the impression that these were our children, and they not. From birth, we willfully give up all those rights. Our ignorance surpasses us. Now, I will ask you, would you grant some random person these rights over your kids or your property? But like I said, fuck the property. Would you grant these rights to a random person? Would you, family? Now, the United States has the highest child incarceration rate in all of the developed world. The border situation is just a wake-up call to what already is going on within the country we live on, family. The marriage contract bears fruits by adding children. If sometimes later the marriage fails and a divorce results from the results, the contract continues in existence. The divorce is merely a contractual dissolution of amendment of the terms of conditions of the contract. Jurisdiction of the state over the marriage, over the husband and wife, now separated, continues over all aspects of the marriage, over all marital property, and especially family, over children brought into the marriage. So even if you get divorced, and even if you didn't go get a marriage license, you got a birth certificate, family. You got a Social Security, family. And no matter what you do, they thought of everything that you might have omit to try to pull a fast one on us, on them. They thought of everything, family, and they're using our children as bait to keep us under control, Now, when you marry with a marriage license, you're not marrying just marrying your spouse, but you're also marrying the state, family. With this ring, ID web, is of the state and is found in most county courthouses in many states. That phrase itself was published by the State Bar Association, family. But what they happened to leave out was the part about when you repeat your vows. You enter, family, into a legal contract in which there are three, not two, but three parties to that contract. That's you, your spouse, and third being the state you marry in. See, the state and the lawyers know that when you marry with the license, you're not just marrying your spouse, you're marrying the state, thus giving undue jurisdiction to the state, family. They don't give a fuck what you believe in. If you're a Buddhist or whatever, if you dare go get this marriage license, you and your husband or your wife become one entity, marrying into the state. But there's more to it. There's more to it because the state becomes the man. And the one that's a woman, she'll still be a wife. But now the man, he becomes the state's bitch. Why? Because they're emulating. They're copying what used to be there before, family. And it wasn't monogamy. It was a man, the state, with multiple wives. And what are the multiple wives? The wife you chose, and you take the place of another wife, family. Now, as a man, how do you feel about that shit?
They just made you literally their bitch. That's what they did to us, family. Now, family law and domestic relation court caused a divorce, a dissolution of the marriage, because the contract continues in operation, but in amended or modified form. The marriage license contract is one of the strongest, family. Keep this in mind. The marriage license contract is one of the strongest, most binding contractual relationship the state has with its people. The state take the role of the husband, and the couple take the role of two or more wives to imitate our ancestors, what they once practiced, which was polygamy, family. If you're a man listening to this, how does that make you feel if you don't went out there and got a marriage license? Now, why do you think the man is sought after for spousal and child support? The government knows how to break down a man and replace him with welfare and child support as being the child's father. To further cement this doctrine of acquiring a license to marry, the Roman Catholic Church set up seminary schools to also indoctrinate and empower those who desire to become preachers, the authority figures in regards to marriage. Most preachers who are under this seminary delusions have no idea that when they're marrying someone with a marriage license, they act as an agent of the state, instead of the representative of God that they're supposed to be representing. This religious overtone is recognized by the state by acquiring that marriage, by requiring that the marriage be solemnized either by a state official or by a minister of religion that has been deputized by the state to perform the marriage ceremony, family, and make a return of the signed and executed marriage license to the state once the marriage has been sealed. And both of you said, I do. Now, family, the definition of a license tells us a revocable permission to commit some act that would be otherwise unlawful. That's Black Law's Dictionary. You can find it in the 7th edition. So when a couple applies for a marriage, for a license from the state to marry, they're actually, according to the definition we just heard, they're asking for permission to engage in the unlawful activity of marriage. Now hold on, family. That makes no fucking sense. You mean by their own definition license, I have to apply to get permission to do something they say is unlawful to do otherwise? Unless they okay it? So is it or is it not illegal? Yes, family. They're playing us like buffoons. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why the license then? Well, because the state can regulate that which it licenses by entering into a state-sanctioned franchise or a marriage. As a married couple, a couple forfeits the rights to a private sovereign marriage and any ownership, control of their children, or property as a result of the marriage licenses. Now, couples who marry under state sanctioned marriage licenses also give up one-third of their property to the state. Should one person die, the government, through the state tax, will demand the surviving party to essentially buy them out up to 40% in tax. Now, come on, family. They already tax you when you go to the damn store. They tax you when you do any damn thing. Motherfucker, we paying taxes if we breathe, I'm pretty sure. They taxing that shit somehow, some motherfucking way. We might not know about it, and if it's out there, I'm going to find that shit, and I'm going to make a presentation about that. Now, in the civil law, the marriage is considered to be a for-profit venture or a profit-making venture, even though it may never actually produce a profit in operation. And as the wife goes out to the local market to purchase foodstuffs and other supplies for the marriage household, she's replenishing the stocks of the business. To restate in the civil law, the marriage is considered to be a business venture, a for-profit business venture. Moreover, family, as children come into the marriage household, the business venture is considered to have borne fruit. This is a term used in businesses. Not born as in B-O-R-N, B-O-R-N-E. These people ain't playing, family, and they trying to get any control whatsoever. But it gets better. But it gets better. Because then they enacted child CPS, Child Protective Services, because they receive the full power and authority to seize children via the marriage licenses under the ancient legal doctrine of parens patria. Now, parens patria is the government or any other authority regarded as the legal protector of citizens unable to protect themselves. The principle that political authorities carry with it is responsibility for protecting its citizens. What? So now they literally have an agency set in place to when you fuck up, oh, they're going to come with for you. And they're going to come where it hurts. And you're going to think you're going to be able to speak up, but you're going to come to find out you can't. And when the debt go up, are you going to be ready? That's my question, family. Are you going to be ready? Now, parents patria means literally the parent of the country, or to state it more, or to state it more bluntly, the state is the undisclosed true parent. Along this line, family, a 1930s Arizona Supreme Court case that parents had case states that parents have no property right in their children and have custody of their children during good behavior at the sufferance of the state. This means, family, that parents may raise their children and maintain custody of their children as long as you don't offend the state. But if you, in some manner, displease the state can step in at any time and exercise its superior status, family, and take custody and control of its children. Not yours, but theirs. The parents, family, you, us, we're only conditional caretakers. Does the doctrine of in loco parentis, term in loco parentis is Latin for in the place of a parent, refers to the legal responsibility of a person or organization to take on some of the functions and responsibilities of a parent. And it's originally derived from English common law, and it is applied in two separate areas in law. And the one where it's applied the most is when they come at your shorties. Now let's talk about marriage licenses and the institution of CPS, Child Protective Services, because this going to get good, family. It's going to get good. Now, the origins of the doctrine of the doctrine parents patria and the law can be traced to the medieval and late medieval English chancery courts, where it played an important role in maintaining the structure of feudalism. Now, the king had a royal prerogative to act as a guardian to persons with legal disabilities, such as infants, idiots, and lunatics. Now, chancery, as an agent of the monarch, had the duty to maintain orderly transfer of feudal duties from one generation to another to ensure that there would be someone available to perform these duties, and the concept of parens patria was usually invoked in connection with problems of property or guardianship. Now, in today's world, the Department of Human Services functions as the chancery, or the agent of the monarch, which is the state, all right, in orderly transferring the feudal duties of labor to generate a tax base on future generation, on the children of your children and the children of their children, and so on and so forth. Now, that tax base is known as the full faith and credit of the American people, and is pledged against every bond. A state bond issue is a loan, family. That in mind. A state bond issue is a loan, family. The people vote to approve birth certificates, marriage certificates, and automobile certificates of titles of title are just some of the commercial paper the state government uses to collateralize their debt to the banks for all the bond issues the people vote for. All right? Now, you could research your 144,000 strawman account, you know, and you come to find out that 144,000 is the final frequency of your lights and your chakras that they emit when you align your full chakras. That also has a lot to do with your with the 144,000 strawman account, which is the account that's collecting every single penny that you're making throughout the process of your life. Now, before in your Social Security card, it used to say Social Security bank account number, okay? Now it don't say account number no more, because that number actually leads to your strawman account, to your 144,000 strawman account. Now, he who searches shall find. And if you make yourself knowledgeable enough about this specific information, you can access this information, but you best be ready for what comes once you come to claim what's legally yours, but you weren't supposed to find out about. You have to be ready for that. All right? Now, we're the ones who give child protective services permission to steal our children, family. Since the state can regulate that which it licenses, child protective services have blossomed into a money-making machine by snatching shorties and receiving millions of federal dollars for them. And they just create a bad situation where you're bound to fail, and then they snatch your shorties and make money off their ass. Now, a number of groups have tried to reform this shady practice, But it was a California politician who caught media attention in the summer of 2011 when he said that if elected, he would expose how local governments were amassing billions of dollars in annual reimbursements in exchange for what amounted to legal abduction of children, family. They're legally abducting our children. Remember, the state take the role of a husband, and the couple take the role of two or more wives. So So the state being the husband, he's going to make all the decisions, because we're not in a monarchy no more. We in a patriarchal society. So the dude get to decide what's going to happen with this family or this corporation. And the dude in this situation, it ain't us, family. It ain't fucking us. Now, most people are not aware of how much profit many of these services provide the country. That was something that John Van Dorn told the San Diego newspaper. Now, these profits, those profits are very hard to ignore and even more difficult to pass up. Counties can bring in thousands of dollars in excess of revenue for each child in foster care, which means they have more incentives to remove children from their families than to keep them in their families and keep the family structure intact. As such, family, our county government is a major factor in the dismantling of families and or destruction of children's lives. In most cases, Child Protective Services has no interest in reuniting families, because by keeping the family unit off balance under constant worry and financial drain, the people of a state are more easily controlled. They're easily taxed, easily herded like sheep by the government to do whatever they please, because you never have time to think. You always worried about some shit happening, because with fear, you control the masses. It's just that simple, family. All right? Now, you see the state, which has strong, responsible families with good morals and an understanding of right and wrong, and the time to focus on solutions to state abuses would never be able to get away with the massive confiscation and taxation and licensing schemes the government's pulling, as well as all the states enjoys perpetrating against its citizens today. They're literally destroying the family structure, and we're allowing them. Now, the child is when it's taken by Child Protective Services, is placed in a guardian or ward relationship with the state, where the parents function merely as custodians now. Custodial relationship may be terminated by authorizing state agencies whenever it declares the child is not being raised according to the standards established by the state family. Child Protective Services receives this authority to kidnap children from the child's parents the moment a marriage license was applied for and granted, family. We need to understand this. Now, states can sue the parents on behalf of the child based upon the state's rule of civil residors, which states an executor administrator or guardian or bailee or trustee of an expressive trust, a party whom, or in the name of the contract has been made for the benefit of another, or a party authorized by statute may sue in that person by person's own name without joining the party for whose benefit the action is brought. So they can literally sue you, think that what you're doing, it's child abuse, and they created the definition of child abuse and neglect in the federal law. Okay, now, if a child needed to be removed to a safer environment, family, he was brought to one of many founded homes, which had to compete for money from private sectors, because
These places, they get paid for taking our children. Now, these competitions force the homes to maintain extremely high standards. And due to the limitations of funds, resolving family's problems and reuniting the child with his family was not a primary importance. All right? Now, another way of to look at marriage license contract with the state is as a contract of adhesion, family, a contract with between two desperate and unequal parties, a flawed contract. All right? This here, family, is the ugly truth about marriage licenses. All right? And this is the information that I wanted to present to you guys, and I hope it takes you to a way to be able to at least help our children or anybody you know about to get married in regards about this subject. Okay? Now, I want to thank everyone for joining us and giving me the opportunity to give you a small piece of my perspective, and truly hope to see everyone in future shows, okay? I'm humbled at the opportunity. And again, I want to thank Enhancing Awareness Radio for granting me the opportunity to be on their platform and provide my perspective on subjects that are of my interest. I encourage everyone, family, everyone to follow the blog. Again, the links are provided in the website, but that address again is www.blogtalkradio.com/enhancingawarenessradio. We have a plethora, family, a plethora of hosts that are providing amazing knowledge and awareness, all right, with subjects that have been occult to us for a very long time, all throughout the month. There will be different types of shows that you could look into about different subjects. Feel free to check out all the shows. Now, again, you could follow me on Facebook under Sergio Campos, a.k.a. Tasmaniac, and subscribe on YouTube under the same. Links are available, again, in the website under the description in today's scheduled show. Now, until next time, I bid everyone farewell and send all my love and positive vibes to all the family. Now, I'm going to leave you with a closing song by Jagged Edge. Thanks for joining us. Blessings and peace.
Come home to you and only you. Just make love to just be. give you my all.